Picture yourself standing in the warm spring air of Charleston, South Carolina, on May 1, 1865. The American Civil War has just ended. Around you, 10,000 people, most of them people who were enslaved just weeks before, are marching, singing, and laying flowers on fresh graves. They are honoring soldiers who died fighting for their freedom. This moment, organized entirely by Black Americans who had just gained their liberty, was the first Memorial Day. Most Americans have never heard this story. For over 100 years, it was almost completely forgotten. But it happened, and understanding it helps us see what Memorial Day was truly meant to be. To understand the first Memorial Day, you need to know a little about the Civil War. From 1861 to 1865, the United States was torn apart by a terrible war between the Northern states, called the Union, and the Southern states, called the Confederacy. A big part of what this war was about was slavery, the system where millions of people, most of whom were Black, were forced to work without pay and had no freedom or rights. The Southern states wanted to keep slavery, as it was how their economy and society operated. The Northern states, led by President Abraham Lincoln, eventually fought to end it. By the time the war ended in April 1865, somewhere between 600,000 and 800,000 soldiers had died. This was more Americans than in any other war in our country's history. Charleston, South Carolina, was one of the most important cities in the South. Wealthy families had built their fortunes on the labor of enslaved people. The city was also home to a famous horse racing track called the Washington Racecourse, where rich plantation owners would gather to show off their horses and their wealth. But during the last year of the war, something terrible happened at that racecourse. The Confederate Army turned it into a prison for captured Union soldiers. These prisoners were kept in the open air, with no tents or shelter, right in the middle of the racetrack. More than 257 Union soldiers died there from disease and from being left out in the cold and rain. Their bodies were buried quickly in unmarked graves behind the grandstand, without proper funerals or even coffins. In February 1865, the war finally reached Charleston. Confederate soldiers abandoned the city and Union troops marched in. Among the first Union troops to enter Charleston was the 21st United States Colored Regiment, a unit made up entirely of Black soldiers. Some of these men had once been enslaved in the very area they were now liberating. For Black Charlestonians, this was an extraordinary time. People who had been forced to work their entire lives without freedom were suddenly free. They could walk the streets openly. They could gather together. They could make their own choices. But they also knew the cost of their freedom. They had seen the Union prisoners suffering at the racecourse. They understood that soldiers had died fighting to end slavery, and they felt a powerful need to honor those sacrifices. In the weeks after Charleston fell, 28 Black men from local churches volunteered for a difficult and important task. They went to the racecourse and carefully dug up the bodies of the Union soldiers from their unmarked graves. Then they reburied each soldier properly in neat rows, giving them the dignified burial they deserved. These volunteers built a tall white fence around the new cemetery and created an archway over the entrance gate. On the arch, they painted the words, "Martyrs of the Racecourse." A martyr is someone who dies for an important cause or belief. By calling these soldiers martyrs, the Black community was remembering that these men gave their lives for freedom. Then the freed people of Charleston, along with Caucasian teachers and missionaries who had come south to help, planned a grand ceremony for May 1, 1865. It would be a day to dedicate the new cemetery and honor the dead. Nothing quite like it had ever happened in America before. On the morning of May 1st, the procession began. First came 3,000 black schoolchildren, each carrying armloads of roses. These children had only recently started going to school. This was because under slavery, teaching enslaved people to read had been against the law. Now, they marched and sang John Brown's Body, a song about a famous abolitionist who had tried to end slavery. Behind the children came 300 black women from an organization called the Patriotic Association. They carried baskets overflowing with flowers, wreaths, and crosses made of blossoms. Then came mutual aid societies, groups that black communities had formed to help each other in times of need. As the marchers reached the cemetery, they covered every grave with flowers, until, as one newspaper reporter wrote, not a speck of earth could be seen. The sweet smell of roses and lilacs filled the air, and many people wept with joy and sorrow. Ministers from all the black churches in Charleston led prayers and read from the Bible. One passage they likely read came from Leviticus, a book that describes the Jubilee, a time when all enslaved people would be set free. For these newly freed people, their Jubilee had finally come. After the dedication, the crowd gathered at the grandstand for speeches. Around 30 speakers, union officers, black ministers, and abolitionist teachers addressed the audience. Then something remarkable happened. Union soldiers, including members of the famous 54th Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, marched in formation around the graves. The 54th Massachusetts was one of the first major military units made up of black soldiers. These men had fought bravely at the Battle of Fort Wagner. Now, they honored their fallen comrades with a military drill right there at the race course. Families spread out across the grounds for picnics. There was singing and celebration mixed with remembrance and tears. An estimated 10,000 people participated that day. Most of them were people who, just weeks earlier, had been enslaved. You might wonder, if this was the first Memorial Day, why don't more people know about it? The truth is that for many decades, this history was deliberately hidden. Newspapers in New York did report on the Charleston ceremony in 1865, but as time went on, the story faded from public memory. It wasn't until 1996 that a historian named David Blight, who was researching a book at Harvard University, made an amazing discovery. A librarian showed him two boxes of old papers from Union veterans that had never been sorted through. Inside one file labeled First Decoration Day, Blight found a handwritten account by an old veteran describing the 1865 ceremony in Charleston. He also found references to newspaper articles from the time. Blight was thrilled. He called the Avery Institute of Afro-American History and Culture at the College of Charleston to ask what they knew about this event. "I've never heard of it," they told him. "This never happened." But it did happen. The newspaper reports were real. The ceremony had taken place. It had simply been erased from memory for over 100 years. In 2017, a historical marker was finally placed at Hampton Park, the same spot where the Washington Racecourse once stood. The marker was placed to honor the first Memorial Day. Burying Union soldiers with dignity was an act that showed gratitude to those who had fought for freedom. By marching and singing and giving speeches, they claimed their place as full citizens of the United States. By creating a beautiful cemetery where there had been a symbol of wealthy plantation owners' power, they transformed a place of suffering into a place of hope. These newly freed people understood that remembering the past matters. They knew that the soldiers buried at the race course had died so that slavery would end, and they wanted future generations to remember that sacrifice. But as the years passed, not everyone wanted to remember the war the same way. Some people wanted to forget why the war had been fought. Some wanted to push Black Americans out of the story entirely. The battle over who owns Memorial Day and what it means was just beginning.